Welcome into episode 149 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got an observation coming up. Leather. Retreat. And a me section. So, get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week. I support this podcast from my Etsy shop, which is www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft, where your purchases help make this podcast possible. Haha, sounds different, doesn't it? But it sounds pretty cool. More observational listeners will notice, or those that have got clever hearing and brains, which is all of you basically, but you not new, the very first episode listeners will notice that I'm using my phone again. And I've got the cool music. Stop doing that. And this means it's not the usual, very well edited episode as usual. So I'm going to apologise for all the ums and things I get wrong, people's names I can't remember, patterns I can't remember, and just welcome to Louise's normal life. This is what it's like in Louise's brain all the time, so you're going to enjoy this. Okay. So the reason I'm doing it off the episode is because we ran out of internet allocation. Because of the Easter holidays, the children were on Minecraft YouTube videos a little bit too much. And then we downloaded a couple of things off iPlayer. And we only have a certain allocation a month. So what I'm doing today is recording it on my phone. And then I'm going over to John O'Groats for coffee and check things are okay for the retreat. And then I'm going to upload this using their Wi-Fi. I'm not all that stupid, am I? So hopefully I'll get some show notes in it, but if you don't see show notes for a couple of days, don't worry. If I haven't said something in the episode, please prompt me, because last episode I still haven't done the show notes, and I'm a bad podcaster, but I will do them eventually. So right. Barack Obama doesn't do that, apparently. He pauses. However, if I did that, you'd probably think that I'd have fallen asleep. So, right, we will start the podcast. That zip was me just pulling down the zip that is scrabbling out across the microphone because I'm using my earphone microphone thing. If you've got an iPhone, you'll know what I mean. If you've not, look, squirrels. Right, observation. Firstly, Louise is a bit of a muppet today, isn't she? Yes, it's okay, I can say that because I am Louise. lots of training has been going on over here. It's not exactly runny section, but it refers to it because I've been doing an awful lot. And some of it is running in a straight line, and the straight line seemed to go on for a long time. You know, a good mile at least in the distance. And it's not unusual for the routes I take around here. Some of it's 3 miles straight line in the distance, but you get used to it. And the trick I do, because most of your running distance is done in the mind, your body, if it's well fueled, there's no injuries, you think, oh, yes, I'm fine. It's just all in the mind. Right, what I'll do is I'll break it down. I'll get to that house, or I'll get to that passing space, I'll get to that sign in the road, I'll get to that, tree. There is the odd tree. And when you get there, you just do, well, I'll just do the next one, and I'll just do the next one. And all of a sudden, you're at the corner in the road, and ta-da, the long street is done. And one day I was doing this, and I heard a birdie noise or something rustling in the side, and I looked to the side, and to see where this birdie was and what type of bird it was. And were pied wagtails are back, and I have seen the house martins and the swallows in Thurso, but not around our area as yet. And most of the geese have gone. They have gone from our field, but there's still some floating around. So the season is certainly most changing. Granted, we're still getting snow the odd time, and it's quite cold, but we're getting there. So I looked to the side, which is my point, and my observation was, oh, I'm going way faster than I thought I was. Oh, this is quite good. But I then looked forward and thought, it doesn't feel that fast going this way. As this is my usual 6 kilometres an hour. I looked to the side. Oh, no. I feel like I am going faster. I thought, oh, that's quite cool. So now if I feel like I'm not really going very far, because sometimes you get pushed back by the wind and you think, oh, this is terrible. Ah, wheelie. You look to the side and you think, I am actually moving. This is great. So motivation, look to the side. And then I thought, how can I relate this to craft? Because that's what I do. And this isn't a blather, this is just an observation. Well, if you're doing a shawl or a cardigan or something that has got quite a lot of rows, look sideways and see how many you've done in one sitting. I know that they have the place markers and you clip it on where you start and then you sort of see, oh, I've done all this. This is quite good for this kind of garment. But look to the side. And I was thinking of twins, Aileen and Jan, who were having their let's finish this race. I can't actually remember the garment was. I can see one of them had flakes of green in it, possibly a cowl. And they were trying to beat each other. Not beat each other up. I think they've passed that phase. And they managed to do these really, really long rows. And I remember saying, oh, if I do most of a row in a night, it's great. But then I thought, well, if you look to the side in a row, you'll realise that you have actually done a lot of knitting. Okay. It sounded way more cooler when I thought about it. Maybe some of you will get something out of that. So coming up, I'm going to open my email. So maybe if it makes a big noise, don't worry about it. And I'm going to tell you about the great email I got from Tracy Holroyd Smith. Now, she sent us information last year on Leeds Wool Festival. And I met Tracy last year at Edinburgh Yarn Festival. She told us about the Leeds one and we mentioned it for her. I say we, I mean me. And you listened. So they're having it again. And I met her again. And so it was really nice. And she wears the most fantastic vintage jumpers. All knitted beautifully. So I'm going to read this pretty much verbatim from her email. As promised, I'm sending over further information on the Leeds Wool Festival. Firstly, most importantly, discounted early bird entry tickets have gone on sale. I understand this is for a limited period only. Entry price is normally £3.80, but are currently being offered for £3. She has a link to them where you can purchase them, and I will get them in the show notes as soon as possible. We are currently finalising our programme of activities on the day, as the festival is not just about a marketplace and workshop, although we have both taking place. The festival is about celebrating our woolly heritage and also looking to the future. Currently on the programme we have knitting workshop, two-handed colour work in the morning and Shetland lace in the afternoon. And Carrie Westerman is going to be there. Cool! And they're extremely good priced tickets at £20 each. A carefully curated selection of 20 stallholders in the marketplace, living history reenactors in the mill workers' cottages, spinning demonstrations, a natural dyeing exhibition, the mill spinning mule and steam engines will be working, spring lambs, oh, to paint in the gardens. Oh, there's lammies everywhere just now. My Sandy was at Cubs last night. They went up to one of the leaders' farms and they were petting the lambs and feeding them and stuff. Alpacas to make friends with in the garden. Oh, you have to be nice to them. Hello, Dorito. A showing of the full-length version of the award-winning documentary Addicted to Sheep. Dr. Caroline Radcliffe giving a talk on mill workers dancing and clogging, followed by a dancing workshop. Opera singer and one half of knitting podcast duo The Savvy Girls, who's Melanie Gall, aka the Savvy Girls Melanie, performing some of her historic knitting songs. Oh, wow. That's worth the price alone. A folk musician performing in a couple of locations. Morris dancers performing in the gardens. A pop-up not-for-profit cafe run by the Women's Institute. A talk from a... Hold on, the Women's Institute. Oh, the baking is going to be amazing. A talk from an independent yarn producer and farmer, which is the name to be announced this week. I think it's for the moment. By the way, all of the above, except the knitting workshops and the goods for sale in the cafe and obviously the marketplace, are included in the entry price ticket in the event. And how amazing does that sound? I'm seriously thinking, if I was in Leeds or anywhere near it, I would be going to that. £3.80 or £3 for an early bird. It's amazing. I mean, I know you've only got 20 stall holders, but you could spend a lot of money at £20 stall holders. £20 for your workshop is a really good price. So, and then all the rest of the stuff, what a lovely day out you're going to have. I am totally jealous. So Tracy, I hope you have another amazing workshop this year. It's not workshop, Leeds Wool Festival this year. And if you're in the area, do make a point of going along. Oh, so I practiced this yesterday when I was cycling. It was so much easier when there was nobody else listening. Actually, there's still nobody else listening. I'm in my bedroom hiding from the washing machine noise. Excuse me for coughing. So, going to all the, where were we? I'll get my mind collected here. Now, this is another yarn festival in the busy calendar of coming up or through the year. And I read on Twitter and her blog about Space Cadet trying to decide if there is yarn sales or events saturation. And some may say yes, maybe the sellers, and some may say no. And I thought of the people who don't actually get to go along to the big shows. For instance, you guys are all podcast listeners because you're listening to me. And well done for today. That means you do hear me talk about some of the events that have been going on, some of them I've been to. And I, a podcast listener, have heard about a lot of the events, say in London, the Ali Pali one, which is actually going to be in Edinburgh this weekend or next weekend. I can't remember. Soon. I did talk about it in a previous episode. And my friend Celia is going. And she's taken our other friend Helen. And whilst I was sneering and wondering about the... what was I wondering about? Does anybody know? Put your hand up at the back. See you in the bus. Yeah, you're still awake. That's fine. Well, I was kind of sneering about the fact that the VIP ticket for that was quite amazing. So I then heard Celia say, oh, and I've bought the VIP ticket for Helen's birthday. So one person's, grief, look at the price of that, is another person's birthday present. So I felt quite told off then. Well, not by her. She had no idea that I was sneering about it, but in my head I was, oh, Louise, that's shocking. So there is things to be learned and thought about, and hopefully that she'll enjoy it. But it also means that people who don't live near the huge big shows or can travel easily can now achieve greatness of going along to a new show, and they can find out what's happening in the knit world, and they can buy new stash, which is good for the yarn dyers and producers, and it actually helps the industry. And it's on a more of a local level, because whilst probably the vendors travel a lot more, people who have little shops might not want to take the money to go all that distance. For instance, myself, I had a fleeting thought about selling some of my project bags down in Edinburgh at the Yarn Festival, which is a perfect platform for me. But if I added up how much it would cost me to stay down, did petrol down, taking the cost of the table, I don't know whether I would make ends meet. But say if there was one, like the Dingwall one, which is this weekend or 7th of May. I've talked about it recently. I think it's the 7th of May because I'm doing the Glenafert Duathlon. I know I can't make it, so I've kind of not, I'm not a very good podcast diary person today. So, like I say, apologies for all rubbishness. I'll stop that now. If I was to go to Dingwall, for instance, it would be a lot less money for, because I wouldn't have to stay over, not so much diesel to get down, and it would be the same amount of people coming. Well, not me, it's the amount of people come through the door, but it's the same audience of people that I would be looking for. So I don't think that we're at yarn show saturation quite yet, or nothing that's unattainable anyway. The way that the industry is growing. And also, if you go along, you're finding out what's happening, you're going to bring yourself on, you're going to bring yourself into new yarns, you're going to meet the yarn dyers, you might ask a question that you've always wanted to know about yarn dyeing, and you take your craft one step beyond. Everybody do the madness dance, one step beyond. I wish I could sing it for you. So this brings me into the blether. What do you mean I've not been blethering so far? Yes, I have. This is what it's all about today. So how to bring your crafting one step beyond. You might be in a kind of comfort zone just now, or you might be at the start of your crafting career. You might be the most experienced person you know in your crafting career. But how do we bring our craft, how do we go beyond what we are at now? And should we? Well, yes, I think we should, because it keeps our brains going, and we need our brains for when we get a bit older. It keeps us mentally agile, and some of us more than others, it has to be said. And then you'll be able to be a little bit more active in your ageing years. And who doesn't want to be able to do all the countdown conundrums? I'd love to be able to do it. I've never been all that good at it. However, so crafting one step beyond. Dun, 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 dun. Right, I was doing the madness dance there. Everybody need to go and look that up. And if you're a knitter, you go to the show, you might buy new yarn to you. You might find a new base. You might go into looking at just British wools, such as Louise Scully, and you're constraining yourself in one way because you are just using one kind of one area of yarn, and that in itself is a challenge, but it's a wonderful challenge, and you're helping all the yarn producers in the country by giving them a market. You're also educating the people around you, because somebody's going to inevitably say, oh, what wool is that? Where did you get that from? Or you can say, oh, do you like this? This is actually from North Ronaldsay. Who would know it's such a wonderful jumper? Or your Falkland wool, and we know people in the Falklands through Ravelry. And you're giving them a voice as well. So your one step beyond is also helping them in a way. And you could also go into constraining yourself. You could just use one colour for a month. Say, if you just use the colour red, how many different items would you make in the shade of red? You could have your red shawl or your red cardigan or your red jumper. And you could have them in different types of wool, thicknesses of wool, and see how they all get on with each other. Or you could go for blues if you were feeling a little bit in a blue zone. Or you could also, say if you were only a person that knits in grey, you could make your one step beyond that you have to knit something in colour. Or I who knit in colour might want to knit in grey, if it's the dark grey, which I have done because my Elle's jumper's in grey. If you are a knitter and you think, I think I know everything. I don't think you do. There must be something that you don't know about. So when you next see the workshops coming up for a show that's near you, because like we said, there's loads of shows, find a workshop that you've not done before. So two-stranded knitting colour work, the one I was talking about before, which I've just said the wrong words. I haven't done that before, and I certainly haven't done a workshop in it. So that might be my thing to go for, whereas yours might be the Shetland lace, or you might just want to go and see Carrie and hear whatever Carrie's got to say and find out about what's happening in the land of Carrie, mostly in Glasgow. So there's a one step beyond for you. And also, if you're a quilter, you might just make quilts in patchwork or applique or one piece. How's about you try a different technique from what you normally do? Or if you normally just do small pieces, like wall hangings, try a big quilt, or even constrain yourself down to the one square inch that you do. And you could also join up on, there's Facebook groups where you can do swaps, and you could learn a new technique or make a new friend from these groups, or on, for a knitter who could make them through Ravelry, you can do swaps on Ravelry as well, and you can do them through the quilting groups. So think about what you would like to do for your one step beyond. I don't actually know what my one step beyond was. I know when I was talking to myself, I was going up cycling up Dunnet Head yesterday, and I think I came to a downhill bit, and I didn't talk to myself in the downhill bit because I was too busy going, this is good fun, and I talked to myself when I was going uphill because I had lots of time to get there. But I just thought that was quite an interesting ponder. How would you one step beyond what craft you're at just now? I'm not meaning take all the crafts up, just what's your next step? What do you fancy improving on or learning or constraining yourself to? And it also, it can let the creative juices flow out of you. Maybe my one step beyond is my podcast using the mobile phone. It would be good if it was done better, but I'm still learning. Although I have to say, it is way better than the first one I did on it, isn't it? Hopefully the whole thing will go out this time. Right, so that is the blether. Quick retreat is that I got the bags. The goodie bags have been embroidered on, and they look quite cool. Not just quite cool, really cool. I have been starting to sew what's going into the goodie bags, and there's a lot of things upstairs that got a lot of pins on them. And I'm actually going to use my rolled hem foot, hopefully, and see how I can get on with that. I've received the menu from the Seaview, and I will be asking you all probably the week before or even on the Thursday when we arrive to choose so that they can get it all ready for us. We've got a special menu, and I've specifically asked for a vegetarian option on it. If any of you have specific eatery requirements, could you let me know as soon as possible so that it doesn't get included in the option and you then have something to eat, because it would be a bad day at the office if you didn't, really. And then also I got this most wonderful package on the post the other day, and it's from Lisa, who has Erica Eccles, and she is at ericaeccles.wordpress.com, and she sent up a beautifully hand-stitched hot water bottle cover, and it's got a little birdie appliqued onto it. And she's also sent up a couple of other prizes, and there's stuff that I'm going to put into the Uncal prize selection as well. So Erica has the most beautiful pair of hands on her. She's got a really interesting blog, and she takes commissions for making quilts. And you need to go and read the one where she took the commission for the quilt. And she not only did a little sketchy of the quilt, she painted the paper and then cut it into the shapes that she was going to have. And I thought, wow. And she does everything by hand. So it was just really, really interesting to read. And she writes lovely, lovely blog posts, very newsy. You can find out what's happening with her, and she's just like somebody that you want to have a knit-night companion with. If you know Erica Eccles in real life, lucky you. She'd be a great, great person to come along and have a chat with. So she has very kindly donated some things to the retreat and to the Uncal. So thank you very much, Erica. And I think that's all the retreat news I've got. I'm going to go over to Jonah Groats just now and look at the puffins in the cafe. That was a very fate, wasn't it? I bet y'all went, oh, and then I've mentioned it. Right, okay, the Uncal is calling along. If you have got stuff that you want to put in it, then please do go to the Ravelry thread. I don't have any details written down. I'm trying to do this by memory. And Division 1 is the Leave It Cal. And say if you've been knitting on something ages ago and you've had it put by, you've not unpicked it because you want to go back to it. Your Division 1 is take a picture of it now, don't work on it for until the 1st of June, and take a picture at the end of 1st of June showing that you've not done anything, and you'll be in for some great prizes. Division 2 is the Unicorn, or Supercorn. I knew a superhero. It had a horn, it was a unicorn, Supercorn, something like that. That's what Daisy said on her little story. And this is the project that you've always wanted to make and you've never quite gotten around to it. Or say you've got a baby jumper that you need to make and everybody else is making the Cool Cal, the Mystery Cal, the Helen Stewart Cal, the Paula Cal, the Stephen West Cal. There's Cals everywhere, Cals. And you need to make this baby jumper. Or you've always wanted to make an owl's jumper. So this is your chance, so sign up now and get it done by the 1st of June, take your photograph, put it up, and then you'll in for some more prizes. And Division 3 is the Rip It Out Altogether Froggy one. And take a picture beforehand, rip it all out, take a picture at the end of some of these crinkly balls of wool, and you can repurpose the yarn. You could even use it for making your unicorn. Or you could just put back in your stash. Or you can donate it. I don't really mind. But you'll be in for some wonderful prizes. All of which I can't remember, but I mentioned last episode. This has been done in conjunction with Twin State Designs podcast. And they're way more professional sounding in their last episode than I am. And they've even got bloopers at the end, which I always wait for. Because if they don't have them, I would be really upset. I very, very, very occasionally have bloopers, but that's only when somebody else is talking. And on to the Baby Me section. Yay! I haven't actually been doing an awful lot. I've been doing an awful lot of exercise and being tired. So I've made one sleeve of the Owl's Jump, the Owligan by Kate Davis, and I'm using Icelandic Lopi bulky, I think it's bulky, but it's very fat wool. And I'm on up to the elbow on the second sleeve, so I've just got to do, say, about 6 inches worth of sleeve there. And then I won't have second sleeve or making sleeve syndrome because I've not made the body yet. And it knits up really lovely. It's a nice yarn to work with. a little bit cheapy. Like, I can feel the lanolin affecting my fingers a little bit. So I'm not desperate that I'm just going to sit and knit on this, because sheepy wool kind of affects my hands a little bit if it's a bit greasy, because apparently I'm allergic to lanolin, which is something that happens when you've got eczema and stuff like that. So if you think that I'm not as enthusiastic about sheepy stuff, it's just that's plainly why, because the lanolin affects my fingers and my skin and it hurts because I end up scratching a layer of skin off. But I still think it's cool that we have sheeps, and I rescued a lamb the other day. It put back in its pen from its mum from our neighbouring farm, because I'm that way inclined. I like sheep. They're a bit stupid. I like lambs best, though, because they're very cute. But I like everything about sheep. I like eating them. I like hearing them going, meh. I like their wool. I like dyeing their wool. I just like working with a yarn that has been prepared by somebody that's washed it. Washed all the lanolin out, that's all. And so that's that jumper. Oh, sorry, cardigan. And I don't actually have buttons for it, so we'll have to deal with that when we come to it. I have an idea about the buttons, but I'll talk to you about that when we even get to that section. I got to finish Toothless the Dragon Crocheted Anagurumi, and I think this is a pattern by Nicole's Nerdy Knots or Yarn Yard. One was the Narwhal. I didn't mention it last episode. So I've done to his tail. It was very, very long. A huge long tail. It seemed to go on for a long time. In fact, I cut it off before, because it measured longer than it said, because it said go to 63 rows. And I thought, no way, I'm on 52 now. So I measured it and it was about the right length. And then I started doing his ears, and he seems to have a lot of ears and horns and sticky on things to do, and it was dark. So this is using a pitch black yarn, and it's the Women's Institute acrylic. I got it from Hobbycraft, 100 grams for the ball, and it's going through it quite a thing. I don't think I'll get two toothlesses out of one black ball, so I'll probably have to buy another one. Daisy wants a toothless. Great. So, I'll maybe just revisit that one. I still can't find my size 4mm double-ended crochet hook. So the paving mitts on the Tunisian Crochet by Twinset Aylin has kind of stopped. And I was using Space Cadet, and I'm really quite upset about this, because I was really enjoying the whole concept of making Tunisian crochet paving mitts, well, fingerless mitts, because she wanted them. The yarn's lovely. It's nice to work with. It's nice to pull out as well, because I've pulled it back out again 3 times, or more than that, actually. And I tried what I had on her hand, and it was too small anyway, so I'll need her there when I actually do get the size 4mm. I was kind of tempted to buy a new one, but having the winter net, it's curtailed that. So maybe when I go to Jonah Groats, I might actually do that. And what else was there? I don't think I've got anything else going on. Oh, I can't figure out the gauge of my new old cardigan, so it's still sitting there. And I was reading the pattern, and it didn't make sense either. It will, I think, when you get there. It says that you have to read the whole pattern first and then go back, because you have to do something at the same time as something else. But I think it's one of these things for me. It'll really only make sense to me when I'm actually on that side of the pattern. Knowing that I've got to do something at the same time will help, but I think I'm the kind of person that learns by, when you get to do something, once you're sitting there working through it, it makes more sense than being able to figure it out beforehand. It's just the way I learn. It's just the way it is. And I think I'm going to say, I have been doing a lot of sewing for the retreat. I'm getting stuff organised for that, but Secret Santa stuff, so can't tell you yet. I will be able to tell you in future episodes. At the Caithness Textile Artists, I was just carrying on with my hand embroidered sampler. I was learning more about bullion knots and was making roses out of them this week. And if you use at least two or three strands, it helps. And follow the instructions quite well. You keep the tension not too tight so you can pull the needle through, but tight enough so that the strands, the loops all stay in the same place. So this is also, you know, it's taking my stitching one step beyond. I'm learning all these new stitches as I'm just going through my A to Z embroidery book. And I completely recommend this. This is using up some Aida material that I had in a box for a long time. Always going to use it for cross stitch, but as my crafting progression has gone on, it's just sat there. There is a danger about doing one step beyond, I think, is that you kind of abandon your previous projects. So take that into thinking and your cognizance of it when you're doing your one step beyond, because you don't want to abandon all hope on your cross stitch that you started in the year 2000, Louise. And it didn't get touched last year, and it hasn't been touched this year. So, the thought is there. It's just the actual reality has not been. Oh look, House Martins. Sometimes, soon. There was a Jenny Wren there yesterday. So, what else were they doing? Joan is making the most beautiful crewel embroidery bag, I think it is, or something. It's using some lovely, lovely soft material. I think she called it Doctor's Jersey, but I don't think that's right. She got it from the London Bead Company, and it was something horrendous a metre. But Joan is of the opinion, if she has the money now, she'd rather buy things and go first class than give it all to her children to go first class when she's dead. And I think that's amazing. So she bought this, she bought a metre of it, £77 a metre. But she is making it a picture out of Inspirations magazine, and it has little mice on it, and they've got some raspberry fruit around and some leaves and stuff in it. They're just so cute. So she's been doing that. The baby's due in 12 weeks, so she's trying to get it really worked on. And what else? Shirley finished her Shashishko, thankfully, piece, and it's going to be a table runner, and it's navy blue, and she's used white thread, and it's absolutely beautiful. And then she goes, oh, don't look for the mistakes. What? It's handmade, beautiful, don't see them. Celia had been making this quite unusual cushion, and she had been speaking to her friend whose husband had passed on. I think this is quite a while ago, but she given her all her husband's old ties, like neckties, and she's made a cushion, a round cushion. She sewn them in a circle from the inside, and it's a circular cushion, and then she's got a little bit of velvet in the middle and some velvet on the back, and then she's going to squash a button from the top right in the middle through down to the underneath, so it's going to look kind of donut-y. And she needs this huge long needle to help her do that, because she says, I did it once and it pinged off. I tried a different technique and it pinged off again. So Shirley said she's got this big long needle that she'll borrow me for doing that. Okay. I still don't know how she's doing it. But she covered the button, and using the same velvet that she had covered the circle bit right in the middle. It was lovely, lovely way. I says, are you going to give this to the lady? And she says, yeah, but I think she might have forgotten, because the husband passed away quite a while ago and she'd forgotten that she gave me the ties. I said, you're going to make her cry. She says, yeah, but it's a nice way. So I thought that was a really, really nice thing to do. And Catherine was needle felting, and Dorothy was cutting up some material for making her disappearing nine patch quilt, and I was doing my hand embroidery. So we were quite productive, and we had two cups of coffee, so that was a lovely Tuesday morning. And I think that's about all in the me section. It's been a lot of training, and I've done two long trail runs, and one of them I got a medal for coming in last, and it wasn't the booby prize. Didn't get a wooden spoon. I thought it was, but it was because there wasn't that many females, and they give it to the first three, then they give it to the first master, then the first senior, and the first junior, which is age groups, and first local. And it was because once they're given to one, they can't then give it, or they say they don't give it back to the same person. So I had been running with a lady called Lorna, and I'd waited on her coming up the hill, and she'd pulled me out the bogs and picked me up after I fell over, face planting myself, tripped over the heather. And she's actually quite sensible, because she says, right, get your bearings, just take them when out. I didn't think I was up. It was normally a case of you fall over and you get straight back up again, even though you're nobody's about. You think, I hope nobody saw that. I wasn't actually like that. I was just trying to get up and keep running. And we stopped and took selfies. And then we were coming through the village of Ray at the end, because that's where the run was, back to the start at the golf course. And there was about 10 fancy Lamborghini-type fancy schmancy go faster cars all sitting there, and they all had these young men in them, one man in each car, and some of them had their sunglasses on and their trendy beards, and the last guy was like, looks a bit like Jared Butler. And then I thought, oh great, here's me, I'm bright red, my hair is a mess because I've had it in a snood thing all the way around because it was snowing and windy, and I've just taken it out because I'm hot now. I've got mud up to my armpits. And I thought, well, come on then, boys, it doesn't get better than this. And I used Bickle to help me run up the hills, because he loves hill running. And it was great now. It's actually quite a nice run. It's a very, very wet run, but it is a nice run up Ben Ratha, in the top of Caithness, near Ray. And I got a medal. And so did Lorna, because I was a bit of, but Lorna ran at the same time as me. How did she not get one? And then she got one for a different age group. So I was quite chuffed. So I was even in the photograph at the end. And I thought, that's not bad. See what happens when you actually go along to something and you're thinking, oh, well. And you get a medal. So you should just go along anyway. You never know what will happen. Right, so I think that's all my crap for this week in Caithness. I'm going to go to John Groats now and load this up. I'll leave you with a little bit of good time, so you need to shake your maracas on the way out. So you can get me on Ravelry's Wee's Hunt, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as Caithness Craft. I have a group on Ravelry, Caithness Craft Collective. That's where all the competitions are. Please go in there. There will be show notes at some point soon. And the podcast comes from www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. Thank you very much for listening. You deserve a medal too. And keep on crafting.